The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
I'm going to tell you the story about an Irishman. His name was John Gogarty. He was brutally murdered back in July 2015 in Sheffield, where he was living. And the reason I'm telling you about him is that John's daughter, Nicola Gogarty, is in the studio with us this morning to tell me about her dad and about the story, really, of what happened. Good morning to Nicola, and thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
First of all, I suppose, tell us a little bit about your dad, John. He went to Sheffield back in the 90s, was it? Or
in the 80s.
In the 80s, yeah.
He originally went to London to get work because there was a recession in Ireland. So he stayed in London for a number of years and went up to Sheffield then years later. He met my brothers, my brother and sister, his mum and dad, and he went up there to live. So he's been up there probably 20 years, I'd say.
And were you were back here in Dublin?
Yeah, with my mum, yeah.
And did you have a good relationship with your dad?
Yeah, I was very close to him, yeah. Always remained very close. We were over and back and he was over here. Mm-hmm. And I'd fly over. I started flying over when I was six by myself.
Right.
Yeah, yes. As a young flyer, yeah. On Aer Lingus. So, yeah, always had a good relationship.
And you'd go and stay with him for a little while and then you'd be back and
yeah.
See him on holidays and stuff.
Yeah, and more like over at weekends mm-hmm. and always kind of over and back from a very young age.
And how old was he when he was murdered?
65.
65. He was living in Sheffield and he was originally from Laytown in County Meath.
Yeah, yeah. That's where he grew up.
And did he still have family in Laytown?
He has one sister, yeah, Vivian. There was just the two of them.
And he moved to England for work, obviously, and he stayed then in Sheffield, like you said, and he went on to have, was it your brother and sister?
Yeah.
So you had a brother, a family over there as well to visit. What happened, take me back to the day, I suppose, that you got a phone call, the awful phone call that you got.
Yeah, it was July 17th and I was actually in Dublin Airport. I was heading to Spain with two of my friends and I got a phone call off my brother and sister's mum, Alison. She rang me to say, obviously, that my father was dead. My brother found him in the house and I kind of just dropped the phone, collapsed. The girls had to take over then. So myself and my husband and my mum got a flight to the UK then. And we didn't really still know at this stage what had happened. So we went down. I wasn't allowed up to the house or anything like that. Obviously, it was a crime scene. So one of the detectives rang me and she said to me, it was in the middle of the night, to say that they think that my father was murdered. Mm-hmm. So we had to kind of wait until the next day to meet the police and all that kind of stuff to figure out what had actually happened.
And what had happened?
He was he was stabbed 69 times by a guy called Ian Burley and his partner Helen Nichols, who Ian Burley was out on life licence for murdering another man in 1995. He was another pensioner, 69 years of age, who lived on his own as well. So he was only out of prison 18 months.
You obviously didn't know that immediately. You just knew that he had been murdered. And
yeah.
did they tell you? I mean, that's just that when you say the number there of how many times he was stabbed, that's obvious. That must have been incredibly hard to hear.
Yeah, it's awful. They didn't tell me initially because they can't. So it was a good while later. More near the trial was in November of 2015.
Was he arrested pretty quickly afterwards?
10 days after.
So Ian Burley and his girlfriend, his accomplice, sorry, Helen Nichols, what had they done? Had they broken into your dad's house?
No, they basically were watching my dad. My dad lived kind of on a street, so he was getting stuff out of his car and they were watching him and they followed him basically behind him into the house and pushed him in. And basically, that's how they got in, because the door was open and he was going back into the house, because he was very security conscious. He'd been robbed many, many years ago, so he was always kind of doors locked. You know, he'd want to know who's at the door before he answered it and stuff like that. So That's the question that I was asking myself, was how did they get in? But obviously the story unfolded and...
And it was to rob him initially?
Yeah, it was to rob him initially, but he did have a knife with him. So his intentions, I think, were to kill.
They were caught in the end by... She was using his bank card, his ATM card.
She used my father's bank card. And she dropped the slip on the floor, and that's how they kind of looked at the CCTV, and that's how it kind of led the police to them. So
how many days after your dad was murdered that they caught him?
It was 10 days. And then they charged them, I think, like on the 11th day.
Were you there in Sheffield? Like, was it, you know, do you remember that? Obviously, it's 4 years ago, but it's still obviously very clear in your mind. You know, did you hang around there for a while?
Yeah, we had to stay for 9 days. So we were only home a day, and they charged them the next day because obviously I've got three children, so I had to come home. And they rang me and told me that they had charged them. And that was when we obviously found out their names. And that's when I found out that he had a previous conviction for murder, which was quite another shock, I suppose, you know, that he was kind of left out in the streets and whatever.
How did you find out that he had the previous conviction? Did you
find out? The detective told me. Yeah.
And did you find out as much as you wanted about that previous case? I mean, did you at the time, did you find out that it was another older man and that he had lived on his own?
They just told me that he was 69 and that he was a pensioner who lived alone, and the similarities of the murder were similar. That's all they could kind of tell me at the time.
What an awful, awful place to have to go in your mind then, because not only has this happened to your dad, but you find out that the person who's done this has done it before.
Yeah, which makes it worse.
And this is very soon after your dad was murdered, so presumably you're into the period of funeral arrangements and...
Yeah.
Did you bring him home?
We brought him home, yeah. We didn't get his body back for 3 weeks, but I knew he always wanted to be buried in Ireland, so we brought him home and we had the funeral and his mass and everything here, so...
Where's he buried?
He's buried in Laytown. Yeah, not too far away.
Back home.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, then you have to wait a period of time before a court case.
Yeah.
How long was that waiting time?
It was quite quick. It was November. So it was only 4 months after he was murdered. So they had the trial quite quickly. And that went on for nearly 4 weeks. So we were over there Monday to Friday, flew home at the weekends, back again on Sunday.
When... presumably it was at the trial that you first saw Ian Brearley.
It was, yeah.
How did you feel seeing him?
Pretty horrendous, really. Yeah, he didn't really show any remorse at all. You know, sometimes laughing and stuff when he was sitting there. So he's just no soul, kind of, you know, there's just nothing in him, really.
Did it come out during the trial? Was there any discussion at all during the trial about his previous case, or was that something that was not discussed?
They didn't disclose it.
No, okay. Mm-hmm.
No.
But you knew, of course.
We knew, but the jury weren't allowed to know.
So they were found guilty?
Yes.
Ian Brearley and Helen Nichols?
Yeah.
And what did they both receive in terms of sentences?
So Ian Brearley received a full life tariff, so he will never be released again into society. And Helen Nichols, she got 20 years.
After that, obviously then, so it's a number of months after your dad has died, you must have questions. Are you asking, and do you remember how you felt about the fact that he had already done this and was out?
Yeah, I had a lot of questions because I just didn't really understand how, if he was out on life licence, that how he wasn't being kind of monitored, or how he could go and do this again so quickly after being released.
What was the time frame again? Just remind us, the first man he murdered, what year was that?
1995.
95. So yeah. He ended up doing how many years in prison?
18.
18 years
18
in prison?
18 years, yeah.
He came out, and then what was the time frame?
He came out and he was put into an AP house, which is an approved premises, so he was in there for 10 months. So realistically, he was only back living in the community for 7 months before he
murdered your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the next stage then for you?
I spoke to a lady who was looking after our family from Victim Support, and she kind of, you know, helped me a lot in the direction, I suppose, to go to see a solicitor and stuff like that. And I just spoke to Kim, who is my solicitor in the UK, to see if was there anything else that I could do. Could I get the inquest kind of resumed? Because once there's a criminal trial, it's the inquest is kind of quashed, if you like. So we were basically fighting for 3 years to have that done. It was kind of back and forth, and we had a couple of preliminary hearings and stuff like that. And the coroner decided that there should be a full inquest into his death, which just happened in March of this year.
And what was the outcome of that?
So we had the outcome, which was in April, and it did go in our favour. They did find failings.
Failings in
the probation service.
In the probation service, because presumably they should have been monitoring Ian Brearley much closer, should they?
Yeah, and he breached his licence conditions quite a lot. So in May 2014, he was tested positive for methadone twice. And somebody from MAPA, which is quite, she's very high up in it, said that he probably should have been recalled to prison.
And MAPA is the...
It's the multi-agency which deals with kind of, you know...
Probation services
and,
over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So she said that he should have been recalled to prison in May 2014.
Because he had failed the drug
tests. He kept breaching his licence conditions.
And if he had been recalled to prison, do you know at this stage how long he would have been sent back in for?
He would have got at least 12 months plus. So... either way, whatever way you look at it, he wouldn't have been kind of on the streets, you know, to murder Dad.
Where are you now, Nicola, with this? Do you feel that you've had a bit of closure because of the inquest?
Yeah, I do. Like, I'm glad I did it. You know, it was a tough kind of process, I suppose, for myself and my family. But I am glad I did it because I have more answers now, that I know more about the situation. And that's kind of closure for me, I suppose, in itself.
And Ian Brearley is—he's in now, and that's it.
He's in now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he won't. He won't harm anyone again. Hopefully not.
Do you feel good about that?
Yes. Yeah.
Nicola, listen. Thanks so much for coming in. Nicola's story was recently on a Channel 5 documentary, Released to Kill Again. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us this morning.
Thank you, Maggie.
We'll take a quick break.